Hey, Cam. It's Jeff.
Hey, what's up, Jeff?
Nothing much. So are you I was just remembering, you're in Northern California. So were you a born and raised Niners fan?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Are you still a Niners fan? Would you still consider yourself a Niners fan?
I hate them. I hate the Niners because when I came out of Fresno State, I had like two workouts with them and talked to their DB coach a few times and talked to him before the draft, and I was on their draft board, and then I never heard from him again. So I despise him now.
Was that who was the head coach there when that was?
Mariucci was there.
Ah, that's right. It's Mariucci. That's well good. So let's talk about hating the Niners more as we go. Two questions for you to start, because these are the two pressing things I thought about this morning. Because we don't really have that much specifics about this defense to talk about. They just keep playing great. So, first question, you've been in the locker room. You've been in the locker room in Chicago when this was the case. At what point does a defensive team start to resent the inability of an offensive team to score points? So specifically, the Bears defense comes out of that game Sunday night. They've got to be saying to themselves, what else can we do to win a game? At what point does the resentment start to boil over?
I don't think there was or is ever really a sense of resentment, you know, defensively to offensively. That defense, the way they approach every play, the way they approach their preparation for each opponent, you know, they approach it like the offense isn't going to score a point. So it's up to the defense, you know, not only to create turnovers and try to hold an opponent scoreless, but to score on defense themselves. So that's the mentality that we always played with. I know that's still the mentality that those guys play with, and they consider it, you know, their job to make sure opposing offenses don't score more points than their offense can score, or that they can score themselves on defense. So that's how they approach it every game. And obviously you'd like to have some help. You know, they really, I think it came down to one, really two plays that cost them that game Sunday night. And, you know, they both happened to be Nick Collins' fault on a couple of big runs. And that was really it. That was two big runs that set up the only touchdown in the game. And you take those two runs out, I think it's, you know, it's a 6-6 game, and, you know, Robbie has a chance to win it with the field goal that he missed. So they just
–
they're just going
to – In the defensive
– To prepare
we're just, In the defense, so in the defensive meeting room on Monday morning, when they go in there and they look at the tape, you're saying that that defense is sitting there saying, we let this game get away, and there's nobody in that room saying – My God, in these horrible conditions, they allowed one drive of any significance.
Yeah.
I there's nobody in that room saying, hey, we got to get something out of our offense if we're going to take this thing all the way. There's none of that going on. They're all they put it all on themselves?
Yeah, because that defense holds themselves to such a high standard. And I promise they looked at the tape and said, hey, Nick Collins, you know, they ran a stunt. He got out of his gap, allowed Arian Foster to cut through the A gap. And then the very next play, he got cut off on the backside and allowed Justin Forsett to cut right through the backside A gap. So if you take those two plays out, you know, they don't score a touchdown. It's 6-6. So what they're saying in that meeting room is, had we played better, you know, these two plays specifically, but a couple more plays, you know, if we play our technique better, if we make sure we're in the right gap, then we did it. We would have done enough to win this game, regardless of what the offense does. There's never a word spoken in that meeting room about what the offense does or doesn't do, ever. It never enters into coaches' conversations, players' conversations, and players, you know, at home, off the field, if you're hanging out, you know, they might say, man, it'd be nice to get something out of this offense, you know, to hold the – one of the best offenses in the league to 13 points, you know, you would expect to win that game. But their approach does not change regardless of how the offense, you know, performs. And that's how they perform at such a high level so consistently, because they really expect that much out of themselves.
I know that it will tick you off to see it today. I ticked me off to see it today. Chris Conte gets $21,000 fine on the goal line for a hit that I don't see any way he could have avoided in that Panthers game.
Yeah.
Tim Dobbins gets a $30,000 fine today for what seemed to me quite clearly a shot to the head, whatever Tim Dobbins wants to say. You played the game. You've been on the field. What do you do now as a defender when none of these penalties and none of these fines and none of these flags seem to have any relation to each other? As a defender, how do you approach the game day to day now?
Yeah, I think that's most guys' problem with the way games are officiated and the way fines are just given out by the NFL. Chris Conte's hit seemed unavoidable, definitely didn't target a head or, you know, use his head to target any part of the receiver for the Carolina Panthers' body. And then you have Tim Dobbins, who clearly took a shot at Jay Cutler's head. Two very different plays, two very different intents, I think, on both of those plays. And Chris Conte gets hit with a $21,000 fine and Tim Dobbins with a $30,000 fine. If you're really trying to police hits to the quarterback's head, hits to defenseless players like a quarterback making a pass attempt, then you have to come down hard on those. You can't just talk about that being a point of emphasis. I understand that they're trying to protect defenseless receivers too, but what really gets lost in all of this is the intent of the defender. If it's a bang-bang play in the secondary and you're trying to dive and break a pass up or, you know, hit a receiver and he ducks his head at the last second and you happen to hit a shoulder pad into his helmet, okay, you're probably going to get fined. I don't agree with it. I don't think they should police it that way because these things are totally unavoidable and the intent is not to injure or even strike an opponent in the head. When you have a situation like Jay Cutler scrambling out, yeah, he was past the line of scrimmage, but he still was obviously – a quarterback trying to throw the ball. He hadn't tucked and ran the football. When you have someone strike a quarterback like that with the intent to strike in the head, there's no other way to describe that play. When you have such a close fine with those two totally separate plays, I don't understand. I don't understand that at all. If you're really trying to police those things, then look at the intent of the defender. Look at what he's trying to do. Is he really trying to hit this guy in the head? If the answer is yes, and you're really trying to clean it up, then you have to fine him a big amount of money or possibly suspend him. You know, and in the case of Chris Conte, it's just a guy trying to make a play and really just contact that was unavoidable and happened so fast that there's no way he could possibly have thought about hitting anybody near the head or anything like that. And, you know, guys think about that when they approach a play, when they go on the field, and I think it puts defenders like a safety making a play like that at a tremendous disadvantage.
Well, I think you're right. You know, I don't think they're going to be able to clean up this head-to-head stuff until they start levying suspensions on these guys. And I think it'll take suspensions and losing a week's pay for these guys to actually change the way they approach hitting quarterbacks, hitting receivers. I saw a couple of things at the end of the Jets game this week that I couldn't believe, you know, guys taking shots at receivers when a game was out of reach. I think it's going to take suspensions. Have you ever had a concussion playing football?
Yeah, I don't know the exact number. You know, as I go back through and, you know, I've done it a few times, I would say I had anywhere from, you know, 5 to 8, you know, legitimate concussions. A few at Fresno State, most of the other ones, you know, with Chicago, or I had, you know, 2 or 3 in Miami. And, you know, some of them were just plays that just looked normal and you know, you end up with a bad concussion. One was on a kickoff where I made a tackle full speed right at somebody's knee. Another one was on kickoff in Miami and I got hit by, back then you could have a 3-man wedge. Turned my head, got hit in the head by the 3-man wedge. You know, rarely, I think I had maybe one in my career that was an open field, you know, high speed collision type of an impact. All the other ones were making a tackle and either having helmet to helmet contact with a runner or helmet to knee is usually how I got, you know, ended up with concussions. And most of the time, you know, they were covering kicks, running on kickoff or on punt where I was running full speed and took a knee to the helmet.
Do you feel it immediately? Do you know as soon as the play happens something different happened here?
No, not really. I don't know if every case is the same, but for me, I really most of the time I didn't know I had a concussion until way later. And in fact, I had a concussion on kickoff in Cleveland when I was playing for Miami. Ran down on kickoff, got hit by the wedge, was actually, you know, blacked out for just a second. Got up, started to jog off the field, you know, and the guys were like, hey, we're on defense. So I stayed on for the whole series. Didn't remember the series. It was right before halftime. Still don't remember the series. Went in halftime and finished the whole second half and didn't realize till, you know, after the game that something was wrong. Couldn't remember driving to the stadium, you know, couldn't remember getting ready earlier before the game. Didn't remember, you know, a lot of the second half was, you know, in and out. And just confused, not really sure of, you know, it was almost like, did I dream, you know, this happening, or did this play actually happen? You know, did I really, were we at the hotel this morning, or, you know, did I imagine that? It's really confusing and emotional. Oh. I'm talking to my wife at the time, and I remember getting into an argument, and she was confused, and, you know, I was just very emotional for no reason, which is pretty out of character for me. And, you know, later on we're talking about it, and we joke about it now. I was concussed and I was emotionally unstable, and it's just a very confusing and sometimes scary, you know, paranoid type feeling. It's you know, not something you wish upon anybody, and nothing you really want.
Yeah, this is a terrifying story. Like this is the kind of story that we're just not hearing enough of you playing an entire second half and then not remembering it. So let's keep going with that line. So. All right, you play the game on Sunday. Take me from that game to your next game that you play. Did you play the following week?
Yeah, and I don't, you know, it's different now even than it was then. You know, nobody was really looking for concussions on the field then. I'm sure, you know, had someone seen me go down on that kickoff, they would have, you know, maybe checked me at halftime or something like that. But, yeah, I practiced, you know, the next day, lifted weights and ran. And then, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, started the next week, everything like normal. And, you know, luckily for me, really, I didn't have another concussion the next week, because that's when you can enter into really dangerous territory with, you know, repetitive brain trauma in a short span. You know, you saw Steve Young retire because every time he took a shot to the head, you know, he had a concussion. If he came back, he got another one. That's where, you know, serious issues can occur. And luckily for me, you know, I never really had a back-to-back concussions or, you know, and some of these plays, you like the Cleveland one, I really didn't know till later. And I kind of put it together myself, but, you know, as far as any symptoms or, you know, missing any time, you know, back then I just went back out there and didn't think much of it and continued to practice and play.
Do you have any issues since you've stopped playing that you think are attributable to the concussions during your career?
Yeah. You know, I have, you know, short-term memory issues. You know, I can tell myself to do something or, you know, have something to do. You know, something as simple as, you know, take a payment somewhere or, you know, remember to bring something with me when I'm going out to the gym or to football practice or something like that. Just totally, if I have anything else on my mind or I get, you know, caught up with something or even, like, talk to my kids or wife before I leave, you know, I'll just forget to do that. And just things like that where, you know, I can be told something, hey, make sure you do this, and, you know, 2 hours later you know, totally out of my mind and I have to be reminded again. Stuff like that, really, you know, the only issues I have. I don't really have sleeping issues. You know, I don't get constant headaches or anything like that. Like some of the guys, you know, that I know that I played with are starting to have just things that I hope don't pop up. And, you know, hopefully down the road it doesn't get too bad.
Your recommendation to a guy like Cutler, who you know, the talk is somewhere between 4 and 6 concussions for a quarterback, would you recommend he take the week off? I mean, is that the smart play? Take a week, get everything together before you go back out there?
Yeah, and I think now, you know, they do a pretty good job, and I know there's independent neurologists that have to pass a player before they're able to get back on the field, you know, a cognitive test. And I've taken them before, and you know, you have a baseline test, and you have to reach that baseline number until you're able to play again. You know, things like they'll show three shapes, three triangles, you know, one's blue, one's green, one's red, you know, but they might be labeled, you know, might say blue underneath the red one, you know, find the one that matches color and word, stuff like that, you know, where you have to remember words. So I think they do a good job. And I think if you pass a test, you know, a week or during the week before your next game, you know, I think if you have no other symptoms, you know, I think you might be okay. The difference with Jay Cutler is, you know, he plays quarterback. He plays the, you know, one of the toughest positions in sports where, you know, 300-pound guys every play are trying to take you out of the game, literally take you out of the game. You know, if you go out of the game, they have a better chance to win. That's their mentality. You know, so for him, and it could be a totally legal hit where, you know, we saw Michael Vick just get slammed to the ground and hit his head on the ground, and that's a, you know, brain trauma. So definitely something I think, you know, Jay Cutler has to seriously consider. You know, he wants to play. I'm sure he wants to play. Everybody in Chicago wants him to play. They want to win the game. But, you know, sometimes you just have to slow down and make sure that you're not putting yourself at serious risk, because one concussion is bad enough. But the week after, you know, if you get another one, which is definitely a huge risk for him going out there, then I think you have to think about shutting it down until you're 100%, you know, totally symptom-free, can pass all the tests, have no issues at all, no sleeping issues, no memory issues. You know, everything is 100% before you had that first concussion. So, you know, if he has lingering issues, I would tell him not even think about playing on Monday night.
I've seen, actually, and it goes to show you how this sport has changed. Watching on Twitter, I've seen more fans say, hey, don't play this week, than I think you ever would have seen in the past. The NFL may not be doing the greatest job in the world of educating people about this, but they are making progress, because for the first time you are seeing fans say, hey, don't come on the field this week. We know we need you to win games, but it's more important for your physical health. Very hard to go from what we've just talked about to actual football, but there's one question going into this Niners game that I do want to ask you, and I think it's a really interesting question to ask somebody who played safety. Kaepernick and Smith couldn't be more different.
Yeah.
If Kaepernick plays, the Bears have got to get ready for a read option style, right? They've got to get ready for that thing they saw Tebow run. I mean, and Kaepernick, they ran it as well as you could ever run it down in Nevada.
Yeah.
My question is, am I wrong in saying that offense can't work against the Bears defense with the speed and with the discipline that defense has? Am I wrong in saying that if Kaepernick plays this game, I don't see any way that the Niners can move the ball down the field on this Bears team consistently. Is that a wrong statement?
I don't think you're wrong. I think, you know, you're definitely right that them trying to put some pistol stuff in or to run some zone read stuff, you know, or some wildcat, even, you know, wildcat with the fly motion, which they don't really do, more, you know, pistol, more zone read stuff. Too much speed on defense, and like you said, they're way too disciplined. The only thing that Kaepernick can do is, you know, he is a legit 4-4 guy, you know, so he can get outside and make some plays with his legs, even against a very fast defense like Chicago. You know, that's why he was so tough at Nevada, you know, because you could be in the right position and he could still make you pay. But, you know, those plays will be few and far between with this defense. But with a week for him to prepare, you know, I watched this kid 4 years at Nevada beat up on Fresno State, you know, my alma mater. Finally, we finally got Nevada this year after he's gone. But, you know, I've seen what he can do, and he's very capable of throwing the football. So with a week to prepare and for him to get comfortable, seeing what he's going to see with this Bears defense, getting all the practice reps, you know, I think he can run a traditional offense and move the ball. I just don't think against this defense, you know, your first start, if that's the case, that he's going to have much success. They're just too good. They'll give him too many different looks. And, you know, they might just line up in cover two and say, hey, we're going to send four guys at you. You try to find the right spot to put the ball. And a guy like him, he has the physical capabilities to do that. What makes it difficult is just how vicious that pass rush is. So, you know, I think if Kaepernick plays this game, you know, the Bears defense will be very, very, very happy. And they'll have to do, you know, what they did against the Texans for most of the game is just stop that running attack. The Niners do a bunch of different things out of a bunch of different looks. So Chicago just has to be gap sound. You know, they were for 90% of the game the other day. Those two runs that really hurt them, you know, ended up costing them the game. So, you know, a Kaepernick-led offense will definitely have some problems against this Bears defense.
Cam, we've had a lot of these chats. I don't know that we've had a more interesting one than this one. I thank you, especially for the honesty stuff on concussions. I think it's going to actually get some play here when people get to hear you talk and put a real human voice to what is a serious thing that's hitting this league. Thank you, and we'll talk next week.
Yeah, my pleasure.